listening to the good news station, WCNO Palm City.
Welcome to Kingdom Recovery. This is a live, spirit-filled program where no matter what chains a person to a prison of hopelessness, such as alcohol, drugs, sex, or even feelings, God can and will break those chains. Kingdom Recovery is a cutting-edge program where we discuss God's Word through focused teachings, open discussion, and life-changing testimonies. Hi, everyone. It's Luann Lineken, and you're listening to Kingdom Recovery, and I'm here with...
James Rich.
Yes, it's WCNO 89.9. Thank you for joining us today. And we have been talking about kingdom mindset and how it relates to 12-step programs and therapy and cognitive behavioral therapy and just, you know, the Bible and life, our lives, how we handle situations that hopefully baffled us in the past. But today we have a greater understanding because of our relationship with Christ. Jesus Christ. So we're going to talk about two natures today on earth, the sinful nature, right? Mm-hmm. And we're going to talk about the godly spiritual nature. So there's a natural nature of man, the old man identity, and we could still live in that even when we're one thing that I, let me just share this. There is still, I'm going to say, how did I word it? There are unsaved believers, because we can believe certain things, but still not live our life out of the affliction of sin, iniquity, and transgressions. And we're going to talk about all that today, which is going to be exciting. Right, James? Because I know you like this stuff. Yeah. Because with deliverance, you know, it's awesome. So step one, we started at step one, which is a great time of year to start there, because it's about being born again and being born into the kingdom of God and what the kingdom of God is like and how our lives should start to look as we nurture and grow in spiritual things with Christ. So we're going to talk about the natural man and the godly man. So today we're talking about Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit of God's breath in us, in me, when you're born again, right? Is the power that we need to live in the victory over sin, sickness, and disease, sin, iniquity, and transgression. Okay, and we're going to talk about those categories. I say sin, sickness, and disease because that's how spirit, soul, and body, we get inflicted by the enemy. Right, James?
Yeah.
Okay. Just want confirmation. So sin, I'm going to define what sin is. An immoral act considered to be a transgression against divine law, wrongdoings, transgressions, wickedness, evil, iniquity, profanity, blasphemy, lapse. Sometimes we relapse, right? Mm-hmm. Fall from grace, from where Jesus put us when we become born again and we accept him as our Lord and Savior. We get the gift of grace, which is redemption. And we fall from that place. We always have it. We fall from that place in our lifestyle, in the way we're living our life. When you're born again, when you're truly born again, okay? Because we're going to, there's some topics are going to be a little bit hard for people, you know, like they were for me. Sometimes they still are. But we need to share the truth. It's because it's the truth that makes us free. So we're not trying to offend anybody or, you know, cast stones on anybody. We're loving people out of the pit, because discipline, actually even the curse, was God's way of protecting us, you know? So sinful nature, the sin nature is the aspect in man that makes him rebellious against God. It's us wanting to be independent, all right? We have independent nature, And then we have, so we have individuality is independent. I want to be individual. I want to be me, myself, and I. I want to do it my way. That's the sinful nature that the world, with there's two types in the world, okay? And when we speak of the sin nature, we refer to the fact that we have a natural inclination to sin. Given the choice to do God's will or our own, we will naturally choose to do our own thing. And this is why we have to take captive the thoughts. This is why we have to know the truth so that we can bring those thoughts to the obedience of God, the word of God. All right?
Yeah, you don't have to teach a kid how to act up. You don't teach him to be jealous of the other. Oh,
I put the, go ahead, do it.
It's born into us since Adam.
Like-minded.
The sin nature is
that's right.
When we're born into sin.
Right. We have to teach children how to share, how to be nice, you know, how to be selfless.
Just imagine if there never would have been any of that. Oh. They were just naturally good.
Yeah. Right? Like the world would be happy, joyous, and free. Hallelujah. So given the choice to do God's will or our own, we naturally choose to do our own thing because we were born into Adamites, the fall. Okay? Those who live according to the sinful nature have their mind set on what the nature desires. That's our senses, our natural senses. You know, what our eyes see, what our ears hear, what things taste like, what they feel like, you know, what smell. We rely on the exterior, the outer man, to rule and reign in our lives, in our decisions, in our thinking, in our actions. Okay? But those who live in accordance with the Spirit have their mind set on Spirit desires, on the Spirit's desires. So the sinful mind is hostile to God. It's a rebel. Zealots, they're all over the Bible. These are true stories. These are, even though the Pharisees were rebels because they weren't following Jesus. They weren't believing Jesus. So it does not submit to God's law, nor can it. So if Jesus, if we don't accept Jesus, what Jesus did, his life, death, and resurrection, right? And defeat against death, then we'll have no chance. We cannot defend against sin, sickness, disease. We can't defend against transgression, iniquity. We just don't have the Holy Spirit power to do that. That's why in step one it says, let me just read it the way it's written. We admitted we were powerless over whatever it is, alcohol, sin, sinful behavior, habitual, sinful, rebellious behavior. It could be anger. It could be other things. That we're using as our Lord and Savior to help us deal with life's situations, okay? And that our lives have become unmanageable. And this is gonna lead us into what unmanageability is about, just by the choices that we make in what nature. Because if you're born again, you have a choice today, okay? The enemy's always gonna try to come against you and get you to focus on the natural man, the outer man. But God says, walk in spirit, be led by the spirit, walk by the inner man, the true man identity, the man that God created. And the only way we can even, first of all, see the kingdom or enter the kingdom is by being born again. And then we can start to learn about who we are in him. So we can't do anything unless we have a relationship. So this is, and we can't change our mind. Only the word can change your mind, the Holy Spirit. And then that's what transforms us, a mind change, because the heart needs to be transformed, you know?
And I just want to share what she said, sin and sickness, we're not seeing all sicknesses from sin, but much of the diseases, it's not like you did one sin and that's why you're sick. That's not the way it works. But there is spiritual roots. For instance, high blood pressure is meditating on a future event in fear, whether it's making your bills or your kids messing up, whatever it is. And your body releases ACTH in your bloodstream, make your blood vessels shrink. And you go to the doctor, gave you a beta blocker, to block your sympathetic nervous system to release the blood vessel. But when you get out of fear of future, my blood pressure goes away. Jesus said, take no thought for tomorrow. That's a New Testament commandment.
Amen.
And when we have self-bitterness, causes all kinds of things. White corpuscles attack your joints. You got rheumatoid arthritis. If they attack your pancreas, you got diabetes, attack your colon, you got Crohn's. But much of this is coming from an attack in our mind that we don't even know is not us. We think we don't even realize how much we're not liking ourselves and not liking the way we look. And when we got this self thing, and I had that, I got delivered that. My dad was diabetic. And so I just wanted to share a little bit because you, since you made the phrase and people on there are like, what, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So,
and we'll talk even more and you'll go, we'll get more and more into that. Okay. But yes, as people are listening, we'll stop and just interject those little facts because they're important. We don't want to shut people down. Exactly. Yeah. Praise the Lord. So sinful nature is me before Christ, or sometimes, you know, I have to repent, right? Confess, admit, and get back in line with God's word. So, you know, as long as we're in this vessel, we're not immune to trials, tribulations, temptations, but we have the ability through the Holy Spirit, through what Jesus did for us, to overcome, because he's already overcome. I can stand in his victory in all these things. Okay? And so can you, who's listening. So,
and grace is actually one of the definitions that I like, which they kind of took out of the Strong's, but originally it was God's divine influence upon the heart, the reflection seen in the life. So that's God giving me the power to change.
Amen.
And you seeing it when you look at me.
Amen. Amen. But
before Jesus, there was no grace to deal with sin. You know, it was, we didn't get any help.
It was sacrifice after sacrifice after sacrifice, and it was temporary.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Because nobody can live according. He had to give us some way.
So you want to lean into his grace. And certain things we don't do, judging others for a certain sin, then all of a sudden we don't know why we're having such a problem.
Right. Amen. And, sinful nature is me before Christ, or I self, me-ism, right? It's like we talked about 666, I self me. It's being led by if I choose to live that way, he says, who is your father? Your father is of the devil, right? So we have
he
to.
He said you are of your of devil, your the father.
Yeah, you're of the devil, your father, right? So it's incomplete. Six is incomplete, right? And it makes me independent from God. And that's what Adam chose to do. He wanted to do it his way, his will. Okay.
And in the numerology, what she's saying is seven is like a number of completion.
Well, I'm going to, get there.
I'll be quiet.
No, it's okay. Because we're going to talk about godly nature, and that's where we invite him and we become one with him. But I want to just finish the unbeliever or unspiritual cardinal man. The man that lets flesh dictate our behaviors, our thoughts, our words, okay? Doesn't know spiritual things because they are unwilling to surrender to the Spirit. Has no desire to change. Already thinks, you know, some things that they're living right, that God loves me no matter what, and they become habitual in certain behaviors. And sometimes they don't even know God. So, you know, we have to know the difference. Unsaved believers, are they saying they believe, but they're really not saved? You know, because God says we have to confess with our mouth, but believe in our heart. There's two parts to that. So, and they defend their way of life and believing. So I did that, and I loved God. So I thought, you know, to the best of my ability. You know, I would be like, well, whatever I did, I defended, you know, and usually it's because we're blaming people, places, and things. I don't want to own it.
We automatically change them into our own image of what we believe. This first commandment.
Amen.
Making him a God.
That's right. And I was a slave to sin, a prisoner of the law of sin, because I related everything to good and bad and how I behaved, and never to like what God already did for me and the suffering. So sinful flesh, body, senses, that's the nature of the sinful nature, is the opposite of what God is, good and godly, right? So the godly nature is I, self, me, my will, my six into his seven. One, that's why it's so important. You know, I deal with a lot of, you know, people, especially with marriages and everything. God's making it even more and more, especially what's going on in my own personal life with my father and things, right? I have to know my boundary because my father didn't uncleave from his parents to to be one with me. So I have to behave according, you know, because I want to get in there and do things. And I have to remember God's word in that, you know, like I have to know my boundaries, even if it's out of love. If it's not lining up with God, then I have to sometimes keep my mouth restrained from pen and tongue, you know, and mind my business. So, but these are the things. So we become one. We marry God, and as he is with the Father, we are it with him. And he says these things to us, one with the Father as Jesus is one with the Father. So the believer, the spiritual man, the holy nature, right? The spirit man, the inner nature, free from sin, abiding in heaven's laws, serving God, humbly led by the Holy Spirit into all truth and spiritual things. And he told Nicodemus, you can't even understand me because you're not, if you can't accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you can't understand spiritual things as God wants us to understand it with his wisdom. Okay? Has a desire to change sinful nature to God's Holy Spirit nature. This is where our personality, so we, you know, either we choose individuality or to have the inner man personality, the character of God in our lifestyle. So spiritual nature does what is good and godly, and which means it's led by the Holy Spirit. When it does, it's able to, and good and godly is led by the Holy Spirit. We're able to have the power that we need when we admit that we're powerless without him to be able to live a life as a godly nature, as his nature, right? Our personalities become one with his person. And then, like James was saying earlier, people see a lifestyle. It's not like they see God, but they see godly, spiritual, righteous living. And it relates to who God is. And they might say, like I get a lot, the God lady. You know,
that's a growing process.
That's the God lady. When I go up to a meeting or something, you know, because some people don't want to be near the God lady. Mm-hmm. And that's okay. I don't take it personal, you know. So sin separates us from God. And Romans 7:5 says, when we were controlled by our old nature, sinful desires were at work within us. And the law aroused these evil desires that produce. So we're producers, right? A harvest of sinful deeds resulting in death. So Jesus went and got the keys from the center of the earth, right? Of death to give us life. Hallelujah. Romans 7:18 says, and I know that nothing good lives in me. That is, in my sinful nature. I want my will, right? To do what is right, but I can't because I'm influenced by my senses. So I have to make it a daily reprieve. My spiritual condition is based on my daily reprieve is based on my spiritual condition. So if I'm in turmoil all day, it's because I'm not spiritually fit. I'm not right. I'm off. And then we'll get into the different types of sins. And Romans 8:13 says, for if you live by its, and that's the sinful nature, dictates, you will die. But if through, and this is what God said in the garden, and the devil said, surely you won't die. You can't die, right? And not physically, but spiritual death. But if through the power of the Spirit, you put to death the deeds of the sinful nature, you will live. Hallelujah. Now, I do want to talk a little bit about James, categories of sin. All right. Sin of like actions and deeds. Those are the overt sins, like the obvious ones. Murder, adultery, gossip, you know, all these things. Sin of attitude, the heart, you know, and God knows our heart, right? It's the internal stuff. That's like, we'll talk about iniquities, the unseen. And that's where pride, envy, hatred, like where our motives are really hidden if they're not good. And then the sinful, the sins of omission, things that we say, oh, it doesn't exist. It's like denial. If I don't recognize it, if I don't say it, it's not real. Or, you know, we minimize, right? And it's failing to do what God calls us to do. And a lot of times that falls into, well, God loves us and forgives us and I can do whatever I want. And that's not truth. So, and the sins of the world. And these are in the Bible. So 1 John 2:16 talks about it. The sins, the lust of the flesh, the lust of eyes, and the pride of life. So sins against God, others, and self. Indulgence is where I can transgress on another person. Sin, transgress, and iniquities in myself, right? So sin, the act or result, the actions, missing the mark, they call it. Some people, right? Iniquity is the internal, non-seen, root causes, like you were talking about, James. Things that could be generational, even, you know? And, or a vow, maybe, that I made. You know, when I was younger, I made several. I remember, like, when I shared it at the jail this week. When I got attacked by the two twin sisters in sixth grade. I made a vow, like, no one will ever get the best of me. So I became very violent. Because if I acted violent and crazy, you would stay away from me. So that was something that, you know, and it was internal hate.
So, why you're so violent to me when I met you? No, I'm
kidding. And then there's transgression. And that's exactly what it says. When we transgress, we're crossing the line of rebellion willfully in some cases, right? Violating known boundaries. It's even now when the seatbelt law came, I was definitely in transgression. I was like, they don't understand. I'm a little girl. If I get into an accident, I'll be trapped in the car. I had every reason why I didn't want to wear a seatbelt because we weren't used to it.
Me too.
Yeah. And so I had to make excuses why it was okay for me.
And all those people, it seemed like, came out of the woodwork. I was in a wreck, and if I wouldn't have been thrown out of that car, I'd be dead right now.
Yeah.
I remember. It actually was true, but it was like, statistics prove, you know, it's way safer. But at the time, you didn't wear them, so you thought, oh, man, they're going to get us killed, trapping us in these cars.
Amen, right? So, and that's, yeah. So that's like making excuses so that I can do what I want to do and live the way I want to live and have it my way. And that's not what we're called to do. I didn't like half the things that have changed in my life in the beginning. But today, I wouldn't change it. Amen. My life is free. I have peace.
The blessing is far greater.
Oh, my gosh. Like the other side of that ugly door. The destruction door that was supposed to enter into the kingdom is beautiful. It's gold and beautiful. And I was at breakfast with a friend of mine, and I said, we're all looking for the gold door on our side of the cross. And it's on the other side.
Amen. That's Amen. A good way to put it.
Right? Amen is right. And we got to recognize what Jesus did for us. It was ugly.
A lot of people stay at the cross.
Yeah. Well, they, the right.
Mm-hmm. They don't understand it. New creation, what he's done for us.
Amen.
They're just living as worm sinners. I'm just a sinner. And
yeah.
Not understanding the whole purpose.
Okay. And in Psalms 32, it talks about many things, but I'm going to say it talks about a person commits a sin by missing God's standards. They commit transgression by knowingly, deliberately breaking specific laws and commands. And we do it in the natural, too. I mean, in school, I would sneak cigarettes when in junior high, you know, in the hallways, going from one class. And we weren't allowed to do that. We were allowed to smoke outside the building.
But oh, you were?
We were in it, and thank God that was lifted way before I even... God took care of me in ways, you know. He was preparing me all along, you know, hallelujah. So, and a person commits iniquity by twisted, turned crookedness in the heart, or our nature, the towards evil, wanting more of self-fleshly satisfying things. All right, continual, habitual sin, rooted in the heart and will. And these are the different ways we can identify sin in our lives. You know, it gives us a better understanding that what iniquity is the internal unseen things that are not of God, thoughts. Sometimes, you know, I know when I was younger, I would wish if I wasn't getting what I want, I hope you die in my heart a lot. I like slam the door going, I hope they die. Those are iniquities. Those are unseen. I don't want anybody to know, but that's what I want. You know? Yeah. Thank God. You know, and it's like a child, even as an adult. You see, I act like a child when I say that, because a lot of it, God, when he's teaching me, he brings me back to those moments when I was very childlike, even as a grown up, you know? So, because it's spiritual immaturity. And God wants us all to grow up and be our most excellent way. It's good for us.
What's the term for when you have that where you're locked into, like, say, a 12-year-old at a certain place in your life? Regress.
Regression. It'll come to me.
I was trying to think of that several times.
Yeah, when you stay caught in the age where maybe some trauma happened, or you stop growing.
And if something
in
that area, like, it'll just pop up and all of a sudden they're exploding like a little kid.
Yeah.
You don't understand it. And I can't think of it.
It'll come to us.
Okay.
It will definitely. So my powerlessness over sin caused unmanageability in my life. And unmanageability is difficulty or impossible to manage, manipulate, or control. So I was still, even though I was still trying to do it my way, and it becomes very unmanageable, my life, when I want my will to be done. Even in the simple things, you know. So it's lacking in discipline when I'm unmanageable. Uncontrolled in behavior or manner. So, and it's powerlessness. And it's unmanageable. And that's what the first step's all about. It's all about identifying that in my life, because I lived my whole life in denial. In the Nile. And, you know, and it was not a good place to be. You know, so that's why confession is so important when we confess to one another. So when I lack choice, I have a choice. When I lack choice, it's because I'm not choosing Jesus. So I either choose what I want, and then I don't choose Jesus. Lack of control or obedience to the Holy Spirit. These are my choices. Either I'll have no control over a situation, because surrender and acceptance, it's keys to the kingdom of freedom, God. Okay, when I turn my will over, and that's step three, to the care of God, I have to know at this point that Jesus is my Lord and Savior, and the Holy Spirit was sent to live and abide in me, the governor, so that I can live a life surrendered. Otherwise, I'm going to keep fighting and wanting it to do it my way, like that brat, that five-year-old, wanting me, my. Right? And then lack of power or reverence. So lack of power keeps me in fear, you know? I'm going to try to do it my way, get the power whichever way I can, even if it means that I will kill, steal, and destroy for the enemy. He'll convince me that that's the only way, manipulate, you know, and he's using my mind and my body to convince me, right? I'm believing a lie that that's the only way I can get what I want, or the situation can change. And that's a big lie. Because the only people, I can't change people, places, and things. I can only change myself. And when myself gets transformed, because my mind is renewed, then my views, my hearing, everything changes because I'm not so affected and infected by the enemy. And I can be free. Even if that person doesn't change, there's a lot of things in my life that are still the same, but I'm not. And they don't affect me anymore. I'm free. That's where the freedom comes in. We think free means I can do what I want. That's not what freedom is. Freedom is I'm not affected by what other people are doing. That's the freedom, you know? I'm not caught up in everybody's accusations or opinions. Doesn't matter. So when we reverence, we honor, we love, we fear the Lord, not what we're not going to get, what the world says. Okay? These are some questions we can ask ourselves, and hopefully you do, and you meditate on them. How much effort does it take for me to keep everything manageable? This is a good way to measure where you're at with the Lord. You know, are you always feeling like you're trying to juggle all these different things? Because his yoke is easy. There might be some things you're trying to juggle that you're not supposed to be juggling. You might need to put it down for a little bit, right? How do I react if something unexpected happens that I need to deal with? Am I out of control? Do I panic? Do I, you know, we either fight or flight. Our fight is long-suffering. It's not fight in an evil way. It's standing on the word and stand, because the victory is there on the word. That's where the victory is. And that's where the fight is. The fight is standing on his word and not letting anybody push you. Any person, place, or thing push you off the word. Off the word.
We don't push them either. Even and if we know we're right, amen. We're wrong. You don't try to control other people. That's what starts.
Amen.
People get saved and then they still have control issues. And
yeah.
They feel they know the right way. Well, they should do it this way. And then you get into witchcraft trying to manipulate other people's lives.
Yeah. And no.
Then they start manipulating other people. Like if a pastor won't listen, to join their cause because it needs to be done this way. And they don't.
Stand on what you need to stand on for your situation.
Yes. Amen.
Hallelujah. Can I sustain this amount of effort for the rest of my life? I mean, is it something that you know, like I used to, someone said this to me years ago, like I'm a 3-month wonder, like I'm the best for 3 months. And then all of a sudden the true me used to come out and it was not, you know, because I couldn't sustain, because it wasn't of God, you know, and it was works and it gets tiring. And if you find yourself tired of going to meetings, doing these things, maybe you're not in it for the right reasons. Right? Because for me, God put something in my life with a purpose, and he put something in your life with a purpose. If that's something that you were called to do and you're doing it because it's a calling, not because if I drink, everybody's going to hate me. I'm not going to be able to have money. I'm not going to be able to do this. I'm going to, you know, then that's not going to last long. You're not going to be able to sustain that kind of thinking, because eventually something's going to come against that and you're not going to have the strength and the endurance and the long-suffering spiritual growth and maturity to be able to stand even when it feels that way. Because there are times I don't want to go to that meeting, but I know it's where I'm supposed to be. It's like today, I don't not do certain things because if I do them, I'm going to go to hell or because I'm a bad person. I do not do certain things because I don't want to be separated from God. It's a way different way of thinking. I never thought this way until as I mature. And you got to get that flip. But the only way that can happen is by his word, spending time with him, listening to his word. Read it out loud if you have to. And you don't have to read the whole Bible in a sitting. You could get a devotional. One of the things that I faithfully read is Jesus in Red, because it's his word. It's what he said every day. I read what he said. And then there are other things I do, but that's something that I committed to because I want to know Jesus. and what he meant when he said something. And that might be a good book for who's ever listening to get, because it'll keep you focused on Jesus and his words. Hallelujah. And you know who told me to study Jesus? Pastor Tom. So I got a book.
I'm going to guess it.
Amen. I knew you were going to guess it, so I said it, because I knew you knew the answer. Yeah. But I don't think they did listening. Maybe they did. Hallelujah. So, okay. And do I justify my behaviors and feelings and blame them on others, people, places, and things? Like, if only the system would, you know, give me a break, you know, like, or whatever. Or if that person would change, like you were saying earlier, James, I can't control another person. I can pray for another person. I can, you know, I can love even when it's hard to love another person. But that's the power of example, the lifestyle of Christ that we want to have a mirror image. So when the person does look at us, they see Christ-like love, forgiveness, patience, tolerance, all of that, right? Mercy, grace. These are important attributes of God, and it makes our personality is the inner man. Individuality is the outer man. Hallelujah.
Well, the Bible is our mirror.
Yes.
You need to read it to find out who you are, because
Amen.
The enemy has convinced us our whole life who he wants us to believe we are. And you don't know who you are. I come to that conclusion. It wasn't that many years ago. Well, maybe 15, but I've been serving the Lord a long time. And like, man, I really don't know who I am. I'm believing all this garbage I feel. And, you know, I was so introverted and insecure. And I'm like, man, I might be an Isaiah or, I don't know who I was. So I had to just kick all that stuff out.
Man.
See what the Bible says I am. You know,
right.
I'm a son.
Right.
I don't have to be a prophet. I'm a son.
Amen. Amen. And that's good. And can I stop myself behaving in damaging ways in any circumstance? Can I stop, take captive that thought, yield in a moment when I find myself saying something that might be hurtful to another person or damaging or, you know, and I had to. Okay, I'll share the story. All right, I'll share the story. So my dogs. It's always about my dogs. So my dogs, for the last, they were like 2-3 days. I kept saying I hate them, but like I would dread going in the laundry room because you know they have like a room with their beds and everything. At night, I put them in the laundry room and they have all their stuff in there. And every morning I'd be like, I gotta go in there, and I know somebody pooped on my floor, and I'd get all riled up. Right. So I'm going in there negative. I'm like, and then I would say, I hate them. I don't want them anymore. I don't want to do this. By the third day, I'm like, God, what's going on in my heart? Why am I doing this? What is going on? This hatred, search me. And you know, I got instruction to go in there singing. I go in there every morning now and I sing a song. Right. Good morning. Even when I see the poop, there's the poop. I sing to them and they're wagging their tail and they're happy because they don't know that I'm maybe upset, but I'm singing and it's working. I don't feel ugly anymore. You know, I don't feel like I'm, you know, and my son sees the shift too. It's okay. You know, because he even said, Mom, why are you saying that? I'm like, because I made it. And then I caught myself. I had to take captive my words and my thoughts and say, wait a minute. This is just not okay. It's not okay. And I had to say, God, show me how to handle this situation. And then a song was put in my heart and I started singing. And for the last week, there's a shift. And my whole house has shifted because I expected the dogs to stop doing it, but because I had to stop doing it. Hallelujah.
I'm just imagining in my head, because in deliverance, if you don't know that deliverance is a lot of legalistic stuff you're breaking off that gives the enemy rights. and unforgiveness is the number one thing. The biggest thing you run into all the time delivers, and Luann knows this. So I was just, is it funny? I just kept picturing someone like, you know, Lord, show her who needs, she needs to forgive. And then sometimes they'll show you when you're asking the Lord to show them. And like, who's Jake? Oh, that's my dog. What? Amen, you got to forgive amen. Your dog.
Amen. Amen.
That's amen. My life.
Amen. And, you know, and there's other things that are involved. Like, I made conscious decisions, even with disagreements that are going on in my family, to reach out, invite,
good.
Make mm-hmm. phone calls, see if there's any need. I had to, because I don't want, just because we disagree on something doesn't mean we need to not talk to each other and love each other. I don't ever have to agree with you, but we are called to love.
Amen.
Right? And that goes for everything. But if we don't practice it in our own self first, like you were saying earlier, how am I supposed to give it? You know, how am I supposed to emulate what God's doing in me, out of me, so that someone else can experience his love, his forgiveness, his mercy, his grace? Because that's what it takes. It does, especially in families. It really does.
Amen.
So, amen is right. So do I feel like I am surviving not life and not living life? And that's how I felt before I came into the kingdom, that it was just, you know, another day. What's the point? What are we doing here? And then I come into the kingdom, and some of the things I still do, like, it's another day, but it's with purpose. It's with a higher purpose than I could ever even imagine, you know? Mm-hmm. But without knowing him, without knowing who you are in him, it's hard to be excited every day when you go into the same job after how many years, or you're, you know, folding the same laundry after how many years, the same pair of underwear.
It's got holes on it.
You know what I'm saying? Kidding. Like, when you're praying and knowing, like, you have a calling, whether it's parenting, taking care of the house, going to a job, being a boss, being a worker, being a friend, you know? Reconciliation, being a person that reconciles things. Hallelujah. So 1 Corinthians 14. Oh, and I want to say surrender and acceptance is the key. And we talked about that a little early. To the kingdom of God, in order to experience, because they're always there. It's not like you're going to unleash something, but you're going to experience them in your life. The benefits, the promises of the kingdom. You have to surrender and accept Jesus Christ. You have to accept Jesus Christ and surrender your will to the Holy Spirit so that God can do what God wills. His word can actually start to manifest in your life. Hallelujah. So 1 Corinthians 14:33 says, "For God is not a God of disorder, but of peace, as in all the meetings of God's holy people." And Proverbs 25:28 says, "A man without self-control is like a city broken into and left without walls." Chaos. James 1:7-8 says, "For that person must not suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord. He is a double-minded man, unstable in all his ways." If I'm that unstable, double-minded means there's doubt in what God's saying in the word. Like, yeah, but he doesn't really mean it that way. Or, well, I don't believe it until I see it. That's doubting. And faith is about believing what we don't see. Believing the word for what it is. Just the word, right? And Isaiah 24:9-11 says, "Gone are the joys of wine and song. Alcohol drink turns bitter in the mouth. The city writhe in chaos," and that's separation and twisted in chaos and separation. "Every home is locked to keep out intruders. Mobs gather in the streets crying out for wine. Joy has turned the gloom to gloom, and gladness has been banished from the land." So this is God's judgment removes earthly happiness.
What scripture is that?
This is Isaiah 24:9-11. And that's what God's judgment is supposed to do. We're not supposed to rely on earthly joys, treasures and promises and goods for to have our peace, right? It's the consequences of sin. When gladness has been banished from the land, from my heart or from my mind, it's consequence of sin. It's not because God is punishing me. It's because I'm choosing a curse on my life. He's trying to protect me. So earthly pleasures eventually become bitter and turn to misery. We cannot fill the God hole without exterior earthly things in our heart. It cannot be done. It's through spiritual things, his word. Hallelujah. So step one is a decision to accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior. We accept Jesus and we surrender to the Holy Spirit. The authority and power is in Jesus Christ. Okay, he is the truth, the way, and the life. And there's scripture on it. And accepting Jesus, receiving the Holy Spirit, and believing in God the Father, his will, in who Jesus Christ is what will enable you, me, all of us, to receive the Holy Spirit power needed to live in victory. I can't live in victory without the Holy Spirit, his guidance. You know, if I'm grieving the Holy Spirit, quenching the Holy Spirit, if I don't even know the Holy Spirit, how do I know how to handle situations that used to baffle me? We say these things in the program, and we don't investigate what we're saying. We need to investigate what we're saying over the bondage of sin. We need the Holy Spirit in order to be able to overcome sin. And we have the ability with the Holy Spirit. You don't have to live in sin, transgression, iniquity. And God didn't say temptation wouldn't come at us, but we don't have to eat from that table.
Sometimes we need deliverance of strongholds.
Mm-hmm.
We wonder, you know. Something seems, I mean, you're trying and trying and trying, but you're not getting free. You need a stronghold.
Yeah. So over the bondage of sin, sickness, and disease, and sin is the spiritual part of who I am. Sickness is the thinking, the soul, mind, mood, will, and emotion of part of who I am. And disease is my body, the infliction of how it manifests through my body, okay, of who man is. So Romans 10:9 says that if you confess, and that means accept, admit with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe, surrender, right, in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. So, and we said it before, there are unsaved believers in the world. And if we know the truth, then the truth makes us free and we have the ability to speak truth to help someone else be made free. It's through Jesus Christ only. And if they're contradicting in behavior and word, then by our, sometimes it doesn't mean we have to confront that person, but maybe we need to be an example in our own life so that person sees what it looks like. Maybe they can't hear right now, right? So when I doubt, and this is being when I doubt that Jesus was raised, that God raised Jesus, right? Or don't submit to God's word, his will. I say Jesus needs to either do it again or that's not what that really means. He didn't really, you know. And there was a time I did before I knew him We are unable when we have doubt to live in victory. Because we're contradicting the word, what Jesus did, you know, and we can't overcome sin. Because we don't believe that he rose again, new life. We still believe, we still fear death, basically. Death is our Lord and Savior. You know, it's like, I'm afraid to die. So many people, you know, without money, without health, all these things. In our life today, for me, I'll speak for myself. I'm saying this, and yeah, it might be really hard to go through it. But the worst case scenario for me today is if I die, I'm in his presence physically. So there, that's the worst case scenario.
Yeah, eternal life starts the minute you get saved.
Amen.
You're never going to die.
Amen.
You just this body
transition
down
to the next. Right? You probably don't even, because if you know him and you spend time with him, when you transition, you're only going to be like, oh, okay. Now I really get to see you. It's not going to be a surprise. Like, where am I? What happened to me? You're going to be really probably accepting, knowing where you are because you spend time with him and you know him, you know? Hallelujah. So let's see, where am I with this? So 1 John 5:4-5 says, "For everyone who has been born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that has overcome the world." What is our faith, right? Who is it that overcomes the world except the one who believes that Jesus is the Son of God? That's how you overcome. Faith. Hallelujah. Mark 16:17-18 says, "And these signs will accompany those who believe. In my name, they will cast out demons. They will speak in new tongues. They will pick up serpents with their hands. And if they drink any deadly poison, it will not hurt them. They will lay hands on the sick and they will recover." So faith tells me they will. So it's not like, so when someone doesn't, you know, in the natural, they have. They need to get to a place where they understand that he already did it and that they are healed and that they can't take things personal. I believe that God has healed every, you know, that person, and they will manifest when their heart is in true belief. Hallelujah. So Luke 10:19 says, "Look, I have given you authority over all the power of the enemy." Praise the Lord. Jesus gave us power and authority over the enemy. All right. It's not over people because they're under the influence. It's the spirit that's influencing them that we have the power over. So we can cast out, like James said, deliverance, lay hands. He tells us how ways we can help another person, ways we can use our power and authority over our fight is not against flesh and blood, against principalities. And I have that scripture and I can read it.
The greater the servant, the greater you are in the kingdom.
Amen. Matter of fact, after I read the scripture, I'll read that one. So I have given you authority over all the power of the enemy, and you can walk among snakes and scorpions and crush them. They're under our feet. Nothing will injure you. We have authority and power by the blood of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. That's good news. So I want to read that scripture because we're getting closer to
end. You have,
go ahead, James.
Our scorpions and snakes, and they're all the power of the enemy.
Amen.
So he was referring to demonic realms.
That's right.
Scorpions and,
yes,
snakes.
Amen.
The devil and his demons. We have authority over them.
Praise the Lord. Those are the spiritual influence, demonic spiritual influence around us. They're everywhere. Okay? And they want to influence people so that they can have a vessel to manifest in the world. Like the Holy Spirit needs us. But he's not going to, Holy Spirit's not going to mingle with them. Hallelujah. He's going to cast them out. enemy, okay, is not of flesh and blood. Like I said, the whole armor of God is in Ephesians 6:10-18. It says, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand." That's where endurance comes in. That's where long-suffering comes in. "Stand, therefore," he says, stand on that word. "Having girded your waist with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and having shod your feet in the preparation of the gospel of peace, above all, taking the shield of faith with which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints." Hallelujah. Right? James, that's good.
Yeah, and they have, after having done all, to stand.
And stand, exactly. Like, he says
a lot
it
of stand in there. Yeah. We got to keep standing.
That's right. You can't let the enemy shake you. What soil? Because the earth is what activates. If you're on good soil, your feet, the word, then you're going to be able to withstand all conditions. If you're on bad soil, your feet are on bad soil, the enemy's camp, you're going to be tossed to and fro. And let me tell you, if you're sitting on the fence, it's been said, the enemy owns the fence. Amen. So choose a side. Hallelujah. So we cannot save ourselves. No human power could. And this is from even 12-step programs. But there is one that could. That one is God. May you find him now. That's quoted right out of our literature in 12-step programs. Our only hope, desire for a certain thing to happen is our hope. We hope that that would happen, right? And that's what happens when we walk into a room for the first time, or therapy for the first time, or a Bible study. We're hoping for something to happen, right? And then it should be turning into the faith. Faith is the complete trust and confidence in someone, Jesus Christ, or something, the Word of God. And faith is the basic ingredient to the beginning of a relationship with God. Without faith, it's impossible. And, you know, it's the substance of things unseen. So that means there's something there. The Word is something that we need to stand on. It's real, and it will manifest. Hallelujah. So Jesus, our Savior, is the person who saves us from the danger. And the Holy Spirit is Christ, and he gives us the power to be able to walk in this life right now with the power and authority to defeat, walk in our victory. It's already been done. You have to believe it through faith. James, you want to say anything before we pray? You good?
No, I'm good. Yeah.
You good? Okay. So I just want to say that it takes faith for all of our lives to be able to live according to God's plan, will, purpose for you. All right. So build up yourself in his word. That's how we get strong in our spiritual walk. We grow up in spiritual things by the word of God. We get transformed by the word of God. Our minds get renewed. So with that, I just want to pray. Everyone listening, we just bless each ear, and we just pray that you heard what you needed to hear, and that the Holy Spirit leads and guides you all week. Shalom, shalom. I agape you.
Amen.
Romans 12:2 says, "And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." Tune in again next Friday at 5 p.m. to hear and experience another level of God's transforming power, where the truth makes you free. For more information about Kingdom Recovery, I can be reached at 631-745-7980. All the glory to the God of love. All the glory to the God of love.
Hi there, this is John Nelson with FamiliesRecover.org. We offer hope and support for families being torn apart by addiction, enabling healthy decision-making that leads to a productive and meaningful lives. You can reach us at 772-285-5828.
WCNO gives thanks for the greatest gift of all, the gift of salvation. We also want to give thanks for the wonderful generosity of you, our listeners. On behalf of the management and staff of WCNO Christian Radio, we wish you and your family a very blessed and exceedingly joyful Christmas season.